and welcome to episode, well, isn't that a number du jour? Episode 23 of the Two Tones, Tony DeBolfo, Tony Moclair. We've just been at the press conference with the magnificent John Barker. I think a man who may have missed a career as a diplomat, Tony DeBolfo, fielding questions from the media about the early exit of Lockie Henderson. He, ex of the 23 Guernsey here at the Carlton Football Club, made the decision this morning, met the playing group and basically said he wanted to, quote, seek opportunities elsewhere, cleaned out his locker and left. Tony DeBolfo, a historian of the club and of the game, have you ever seen the like before?
Off the top, Tony, I can't recall this happening. I mean, you know, three rounds to go and a player effectively walks out of the place, it's big as belief. I walked in this morning and couldn't believe what I was actually hearing, that Lockie had basically parted company with the club three games out from the end of the season. So, look, it's staggering, really, that it could happen. And yet, you know, to hear John Barker addressed the matter to the media shortly afterwards. Yes, it probably wasn't what John said, but what he didn't say that was so telling in this instance. But, you know, to paraphrase what he did say, basically the club demands players that play for the Guernsey, you know, and unfortunately Lockie wasn't measuring up on that score, and we have a player that's parted company with the club. So now the most important thing, Tony, is that the club deals, you know, effectively with another party to ensure that the player that it gets into the club is one that is going to proudly don the dark navy blue and give his all for the Guernsey. And let's hope that happens.
It's there's so much to this story, Tony, because there's if you look at it, positively, which is the best way to look at it, Carlton does hold the whip hand here in any kind of trade with another club, and Carlton can set the parameters of that deal.
They can indeed, Tony, because while Lockie will be out of contract, he is not to the letter of the law a free agent. Mm. Given his tenure of games and years here at the club, he cannot walk as a free agent. So whichever club will want Lockie Henderson will have to negotiate a suitable arrangement with Carlton, and I dare say Carlton will not be playing hard easy ball here. They'll be playing hard ball to ensure they get a right and proper replacement for Lockie Henderson.
Walking out of the team group, effectively saying, I don't have the heart, I don't have the commitment, sure I'll turn up, I'll collect a paycheck, but I won't give my all on the field. What will that do to the Lockie Henderson legacy at Carlton?
Well, it'll obviously, you know, tarnish the reputation that he had through 102 games here in the dark navy blue. It's a horrible, horrible way to end your tenure as a player at any club, really.
Because he's effectively going so that he doesn't get injured, so that he maximises his trade value.
Well, this is so. But look, in fairness, the club hadn't got a lot out of him in recent weeks. Mm. And unfortunately, he appeared to be a player playing, you know, going through the motions.
Yeah.
And look, you know, John Barker, since assuming the coaching duties from Mick Malthouse, has time and time again reinforced the message that anyone that dons this Guernsey has to be all in. You've got to buy into the club and to the Guernsey and to what it represents. And if you don't do that, well, there's no place for you here at this football club. So, look, as bad as it is, the coach has tried to set standards that are going to take Carlton forward, the football club forward. And I think for those who are looking on, you know, prospective draftees, players that might be involved in a trade, they can be under no illusions of what will be expected of them when they walk into this football club. You know, things must change, they have to change, and the ante has to be upped in terms of the responsibilities each and every one of the players, the staff, everyone connected with Carlton has to build the brand, because this has been a year where, you know, The brand has been battered, but we have to get the brand back, and the emphasis is on we. Well, you know, there has to be unity across the board here at Carlton for the club to move forward. And the bar has been raised, the standard set, any cliche you want by John Barker, and that's where Carlton is heading.
What does it say to the playing group, this decision?
Well, look, hopefully, you know, the players look at it and say, well, you know, you know, you can't accept second best to play for this football club. You know, there's got to be responsibility taken by each player for his own actions at this football club, on and off the field. I suspect the players are limping towards the line. There's three games to go, and one of them's against Hawthorn. But listen, you know, you've got to find something from within. You know, there are plenty of other players who, for whatever reason elsewhere, are playing under enormous duress that are pushing on and battling through and trying to find a way through. And that's the only way. You know, the alternative is to cop out. And, you know, it's not the way. You know, the players have to, I think, look from within, you know, look within themselves and say, right, you know, what am I doing to try and, you know, help build this brand? And the onus is very much on them this week to show that they want to be here and that they respect the Guernsey and they want to play for the Guernsey. So there is an enormous challenge for the players, I believe, going forward. And all the while admitting that, you know, we are undermanned. That is true. We can't, you know, the numbers don't lie there. But we want to see commitment and a wherewithal from each and every one of the current players that takes to the field against Melbourne this weekend.
Well, also anybody who's drafted into the senior list, that is their opportunity to impress coaching staff and fans that they care about wearing that jumper.
And for those of us who aren't in the position that we're never in a position to play for the football club, you know, those of us who would have given, you know, run out once in the Carlton Guernsey. It pains us so to see this playing out before our eyes. And, you know, we all share the pain of the members and the supporters who are watching on, who just want to see commitment from these group of players. And if we don't get it, there will be change. I mean, John Barker said, you know, he said that the club, from the present CEO, list manager down, have been honest and open about where Carlton is at and where it's heading. There is a plan. People should be able to see now the Carlton story and where it's going from here, and hopefully they embrace it. You know, we keep hearing that there's going to be no quick fix. This is going to be a long haul. But at least we know where we're heading, you know, and we know where the journey's going. And all we can say really to people listening, Tony, is to please, please be supportive and join the journey, because the only way is forward, and we have to go forward together.
There's only one direction. You're right, Tone. Now, I'm going to, before we discuss commitment, or some might argue lack thereof, in the Brisbane game, I just want you to put your journo hat on for a sec. In terms of the precedent of this, and we'll move on from Lockie Henderson after this, but the precedent that it sets, that a player effectively opts out, takes his labour elsewhere mid-season or during the season, what do you think? Do you think, A, that sets a precedent, and if so, how does the AFL treat that? Because I would argue that if you have effectively checked out the way Lockie Henderson had, that you are not committing fully of mind, body and spirit to your employer, but still picking up money, a wage in other words, you are beholden, I think, to take the rest of the season off, not take a pay check from your employer, and enter the draft the following year.
Well, I'd imagine the questions you raised there, Tony, are questions that probably should be put to the Players Association. Because, I think clubs deserve to be protected just as much as players need to be protected. Yeah. And I think what this does is, it raises a number of issues that you've probably, thrown into the mix a moment ago. So What protection does a club have when a player basically opts out? You know,
this is the club paying in good faith and expecting a return on that investment. or that wage.
Oh,
basically.
Look, it's very true
because he's effectively guilty of presenteeism, which is we basically turn up, go through the motions, and then check out at the end of the week.
I suppose in retrospect, if, for argument's sake, Lachie Henderson checked out weeks ago, was there an argument that, well, he shouldn't have been played then?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they were trying to get him through this, but the onus probably in that respect is on the club to omit the player.
Yeah.
And, we've probably seen it with Chris Yaron, that Chris Yaron just hasn't measured up to the standards expected of a senior league footballer. And he's languishing in the reserves at the minute.
But unlike Yaz, Lachie was in the leadership group.
No, well, that's true. That's true too. So, I mean, Lachie was a leader of the club, and for a club leader to commit this sort of action, it defies logic, really, when you think about it. It's most unleader-like, isn't it?
Well, I think fans will let their feelings be known, and the first. If it is Geelong-Carlton game of 2016, they'll certainly give Lachie the send-off that he's missed out on.
Yes, although everyone's touting him as a potential trade to Geelong, but Carlton presumably has the upper hand there in any negotiations. They could negotiate effectively with any club to secure the best possible deal. So I'm sure, as I said earlier, that the Blues won't be going lightly there in negotiations to get the absolute utmost return on the investment outlaid for Lachie Henderson.
Well, you think of how he came to the club from Brisbane with the Favola deal. We certainly did the better out of that deal.
Yes.
And there's no argument there. Lachie was great for the club.
Carlton was very fortunate that they were able to secure Lachie at that period when, Fev was damaged goods here and they had to make a pretty serious call for the good of the club.
Yeah.
As it was at that time. So, here we are, how many years down the track, we're in this situation where, again, the decision has been made in the best interest of the Carlton Football Club. And at the end of the day, I remember John Nicholls saying it so often, we are but mere carriers of the baton.
Mm.
And even the great players like Nicholls, they come and go. And the club goes on, and it's important that the club and the brand of the club is protected. And that is what's happening in this instance.
Beautifully put, Tone. Talking of rebuilds and commitment to the club, it can't happen soon enough based on the performance against Brisbane. You'd like to think that whoever we get for Lachie is going to be part and parcel of that rebuild in the next 3-5 years, because to lose by 10 goals to the bottom of the ladder side, to effectively roll over after one quarter of football was diabolical.
Diabolical. I'm so fortunate, Tony, in this instance that I was able to not turn off the telly, but kick it in and walk away. Whereas, unfortunately, our producer Luca Ganano was there, had to endure the nonsense that was going on in the press box from a parochial Brisbane crowd.
Mm. There's your fair and independent media for you.
And then having to watch that diabolical display against an 18th place team, looking at that game, I think what was disheartening for me as a supporter was how much disdain Brisbane as the 18th place team actually treated us.
Hmm.
And that's just a terrible state of affairs, to see Mitch Robinson poncing around the way he did. It was just it was hard to watch. It's just a horrible state of affairs that the team finds itself in at the moment. And, the club is a soft target for the performances that have been,
Visited upon it.
It's just been, dare I say, Tone, annus horribilis. You articulated it beautifully in a previous episode, and it ain't getting any better, is it? It's just you come into the club and, what's the next... What's happening next? It's just it's like a really bad soapy, isn't it? It's you just don't know what's going to happen next. But as I said, we have to push forward and just hope that we can turn it around and get players in that want to play for the place.
The Jammo Robbo incident, I mean, I saw the footage of it and I thought, well, now they're two former co-hosts of the Carlton podcast probably arguing about who was the better second banana to yours truly. I thought that might have been it.
Did they shake hands when they left the podcast recording area?
There wasn't an official changeover. There wasn't a ceremony, strangely enough. But I did actually bump into Jammo just before the podcast. And I think, look, he was a little bit embarrassed by the whole thing, but he said there is, and there always is to these things. Jammo is a magnificent human being. I love Robbo too, but there is more to the story, obviously. There's stuff that goes back to, I'm not going to go into it, but there's stuff that obviously goes back to their time here, and there were things that happened that I think Jammo is right to be annoyed about. But that's all I'll say.
Fair and reasonable. At the end of the day, you know, you still shake the player's hand, whatever the case you do. It's a right and proper thing to do. And I think Jammo himself, to his credit, you know, pretty quickly put the message out there through the Carlton website that, yes, he should have shaken hands with Mitch Roberts and, yes, he regretted not doing it. We move on. It wasn't great. It was interesting that Mitch went to Jammo to shake hands in the first instance because they weren't direct opponents. That I was curious about that. And there were a lot of other players around at that time, and yet he didn't go to them. He went straight to Jammo. So Jammo might have been a bit caught off guard. I don't know. But that said, you still shake hands, and I think Jammo would be the first to say that is the right and proper thing to do.
And look, Robbo did play a great game. He had something to prove.
He did, and
good luck to him for doing that. I think he's doing all right up in Brisbane. But look, in terms of where we go from here, Tone, we've got, you alluded to, there's going to be running down the clock basically, and we're in the state where you can hardly look forward to games at the moment. You're just thinking, well, where's the next body blow coming from?
And we're three away, aren't we? And look, when you think about it, Tony, if you reflect on the 2015 season, the season was over a long, long time ago. You know, the players have had to sort of hang in, do their best. We've lost players along the way. A coach has been replaced. All sorts of things have happened, you know. They happen at football clubs, unfortunately. But there's, you just have to find a way to work your way through it. And look, everyone's feeling the pain, you know. But as I said earlier, plenty of other players are out there under enormous duress at the moment. The expectation of the supporters and members for their football team is enormous. There's nowhere to hide. But that is the lot of a league footballer in the 21st century.
Yes.
And these players are well remunerated. They don't have to play. It's, you know, they're not forced to play. It's their career calling. So they have to accept that everything that goes with the responsibilities that they have at senior league level. And I'm sorry, they have to work through. And they just have to find a way to keep you know, to get to the line. You know, it's I think everyone wants the season to end. It's a fair call, but there are still three games to be played.
True.
And there is still a lot to be achieved by those who are the custodians of the Guernsey. And let's see an honest performance on Sunday. That's all we've ever asked, Tony. I asked it in round one. I ask in round, 21, whatever it is. All I ask for is effort for those that are representing the club on the field for Carlton.
We just want, you want the evidence of green shoots coming through. So you want, I don't know if Clem Smith's playing, but he kind of, to me, I guess, epitomises that hunger, that commitment. And his journey is definitely going to be an interesting one. I like its early stages.
Yes, I like the way he's going about it, Tony. Well said. And that's what you want to see in a player, you know. And let's hope Carlton, you know, can unearth more Clem Smiths in terms of the player that commits and is passionate for the contest and is a competitor and wants to do his absolute best for the betterment of the team. Yes, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. And then, you know, we look at Cripps, and Cripps is just, you know, I mean, it's incredible to think of how Cripps is faring. You know, you think of Cripps now as just, you know, front and centre in the midfield, and he's the man. And, I mean, he's in his second season.
Yeah.
I mean, and he just seems to have taken to it like a duck to water. And, you know, all power to him. You know, Rome's burning around him, and he's still in there, you know, giving his absolute utmost for the team. And, you know, what an admirable player and person Patrick Cripps is. You know, in his second year for the Carlton Football Club, in one of the worst seasons the club's had on record.
Murph, he's, you know, continues to just, well, let his form do the talking.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there is a leader. You know, there is a man that he's pursued relessly by opposition clubs that, you know, sit taggers on him and you know, really put him through the third degree, and yet he keeps finding a way to lead for the Carlton Football Club. And Mark Murphy's a player that you know, really couldn't have given Carlton more. And you know, I think, you know, if you look at his form in the past 2 months, look, you know, I don't know who's heading the BNF, but he's going to give the best and fairest an enormous shake again this year. There is a player that is leading by example, and. You know, the thing I'd say about Mark Murphy is that Mark Murphy himself needs more players around him to help carry the load. I think Cripps is doing that. You know, Cripps seems to be, you know, demanding the attention of opposition players. And it's actually nice to see Murph on the end of a couple of, you know, brilliant feeds from Patrick Cripps, you know, having two or three blokes hanging off him. You know, just getting a little bit of freedom that, you know, it's great for Murph that he can get some allowance in a game, you know, to actually break the shackles and run free. So I think, you know, you look at those two players and really they've probably been the standouts for Carlton this year. They've been enormous for the club, big-hearted players.
You're right. And if anything, the emergence of Cripps is, like you said, it's allowed Murph to shine. And you could be forgiven for forgetting that Murph was possessed of such silky skills. And it's that's what's been great about 2015, is seeing those flourishes and just and being reminded of what a top-tier player he is.
And let's be honest about it too, Tony. You know, Judd's career is over. We've lost Nick Graham. Bryce Gibbs is out of the team. And you know, I mean, they've had to do it, you know, with the stocks very much dwindled. So good on them. You know, I dips my lid to those two players. We need more like them. You know, that's the key to Carlton. We need them all up and running, but we need more players that are passionate to play. That's for sure.
We also need supporters to get on down and look, just show faith in the club. As you said, Tone, and you go online and you will see no end of whinging and whining and armchair experts. Talk of rebuild. The club is absolutely committed to the rebuild. It's a broad and deep process. Nobody likes being here. Nobody in the club, from CEO down, nobody wants to be in this position. And there are people working with every effort towards reversing current on-field performances and the performance of the club as a whole.
Yes.
That's very, you know, to get the right coach, to get the football department right, to get all the ducks in a row and just restore this club to its rightful position as, you know, one of the top three Victorian clubs in the AFL.
Well, there was an old brewery down the road in Bouverie Street, Tone, just on the perimeter of the city that was called Carlton United. And for me, that's what it's all about here at the Carlton Football Club. We need to be united. And as you say, it's not just the people here at the club, but it's the supporters, the members, the people whose loyalty I understand have sorely been tested. But we have to work our way through this together. You know, I'm for fear of harping on about it. That is the only way. You know, we have to come through as a unified outfit, and we have to keep turning up those green shoots, Tony. You know, that is the only way. But look, you know, the next one will be the sweetest. You know, let's make no mistake, because this is a journey.
I'll make two points. If the Bulldogs can do it, we can.
Well, they did it in 3 years.
Haven't they? They've done magnificently.
In a compromised drafting situation where, you know, it was an open slather for every club. You know, there were restrictions on who and when you could draft. And yet, the Western Bulldogs have found a way and in 3 years reinvented their list and are now top four.
There you go.
It can be done.
Thank you. And now, we may have had three wins on the board this year. I'm going to count four.
Yeah, go on.
Hurdy sacked. Essendon losing their coach. That's a win for the Carlton Football Club. Their turmoil is a win for us. Let's chalk that one up.
Well, it took them a while, didn't it?
Now, as I mentioned before, you need to get along on Sunday to the G for the game against Melbourne. For no other reason than it is the Chris Judd testimonial game. You've got to be in your seat. We're running a competition here. Be in your seat at quarter time for the chance of winning one of four bobbleheads.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so there you go. But more important than that, you get to be there, stand and cheer for one of the greatest players who's ever played for this club, Chris Judd.
Yes, what a player he was, Tony. It's hard to speak of him in the past tense, isn't it, really? But look, yes, you've said that beautifully. We need all our fans there on Sunday to give Chris Judd the send-off he so richly deserves. You know, the last time we saw him on the G, he was writhing in agony and carried off in a cart.
And again, well done to the Adelaide fans who gave him that standing ovation. That was magnificent.
Yes, no, very true. Might I say, we want the numbers there this week too. Yeah. I think we were outnumbered by Adelaide supporters in that game, if memory serves.
Yes.
And how disappointing that was that, you know, we didn't have the numbers to see Chris Judd off.
Yes.
Well, we have the opportunity to do that this Sunday. And I think those who have looked at Chris Judd's career and appreciated what he did for Carlton in that most vulnerable period, you know, at the end of 2007 when... you know, Carlton was in a hopeless position. Come back to say thank you.
Not only that, Tone, but Judd, talk about having the whip hand, as we said earlier. Judd could have chosen any club. He sat down, he went through them methodically, and he chose the Carlton Football Club for a very good reason.
Yes, and reflecting on his career, he couldn't have given Carlton any more.
Yeah.
I mean, he carried the place, let's be honest. He really did. I said that to him when he bid farewell. You know, you've carried the joint, and he couldn't have given Carlton any more.
There's nothing to say to that, because it's the truth. He was just, like I said, one of the greatest players who's ever played for the club and brought glory to the number five. Already a great number.
Yes,
but, so Sunday is such a... It's a great opportunity to stand... He busted his leg. He couldn't stand. It's our chance to stand for him now and really, I don't know, rub it in. I'm joking. Don't do that to Juddy. No, but stand and applaud a great champion of the club and just to say thank you for his magnificent effort.
We won't see his like again, Tony, and that's the least we can do to turn out in force for the great man to bid him a blue adieu.
Him, and I imagine he'd have the kids with him. Will Beck be there, or will she be doing the weather somewhere?
I'm not sure. Can I get back to you on that?
All right, no worries. Yeah, okay. She'll probably just turn up in a pair of stained trackies and some old sloppy Joe jumper. Exactly, that's her style.
Tony, be remiss of me not to mention today the tragic passing of Cooper Ratton, Brett Ratton's boy, in tragic circumstances last weekend. Brett Ratton's a great man of the Carlton Football Club, and a memory I do have, endearing memory of his, is being here after training sessions, having a kick-to-kick with his two boys down the great space, Cooper and Tanner. It's such a tragic thing, and the thoughts of all connected with Carlton naturally go out to Brett and all his loved ones on the tragic passing of Cooper.
Hear, beautifully put, Tone, and yes, I... second that heartily, and everyone at Carlton does, obviously. That concludes episode 23 of The Two Tones. We will be back next week. Tony DeBolfo and Tony Moclair signing out now. Go Blues, and we will catch you next week.